Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR, and we are brought to you, of course, by the one, the only Madrillo's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And we are live today for Cigars with The Cave Show. I know we normally do that on Thursdays, but today we're going to do it on a Tuesday. We have a jam-packed show. It is so tight today. We have so much to get to. We have Arizona basketball and football writer for The Athletic, CJ Holmes, joining us. We also have the one, the only, from Easy Sports Talk Radio, Ed Smith, joining us. I owe you picks. I owe you odds. I owe you the Power 10 in the NFL. We have sound from Herm Edwards. This is Territorial Cup Week here in Arizona. ASU versus that school down south. We get into all that. Lamar Jackson is my MVP. I will tell you why, and if I have to tell you why, I'm doing it just for the sake of the show, because if you saw him play, I don't have to tell you anything. Also, there's a big launch at Maduro's. I'll get into that later as well. But like I said, this is The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. And like I said, we are brought to you, of course, by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get in here. Let them know PLR sent you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can become a club member, get a locker, back them to a humidor. Your sticks will always be good. There are a ton of televisions here. You can watch all your games. Come down here and watch the big game this Saturday. No, I'm not talking Michigan and Ohio State or Alabama and Auburn. I'm talking ASU and its school down south. Watch everything here. Watch they have the NFL ticket. They have all the college basketball, football, NBA action. And so Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And like I said, get down here during any time and let them know PLR sent you. 10% off of your cigar purchase. Let's jump right into this. Like I said, we have a ton of stuff to get into. I will open the call lines up. I do have CJ Holmes scheduled to call in here very shortly. So let's open these phone lines up. See what's on your mind. Also, this is the live show of the week. Rest of the week is Turkey Week. So enjoy your time. Enjoy your turkey day. So let's get it in. Call in number 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. Do have a caller on hold. Thank you for holding. This is The Cave Show with PLR.
Good afternoon, Paul, and happy early Thanksgiving.
Hey, Lou, how are you, buddy? How you doing?
All right. And, yes, I did see a game last night with Lamar Jackson, giving probably the best game of his career so far. 5 touchdowns. Not to be messed with.
You know what? He to me right now, he is the MVP. And if I had to go in order, I would go with him and
right.
Then Russell and then Christian McCaffrey and then the running back from Minnesota with his name. I don't know why. It just escaped me.
Yeah.
Delvin Cook. That would be the order that I would go in right now.
All right. Yeah, I would. Don't you? I mean, because you don't get performances like that. What happened last night? I mean,
what?
The Ravens were just on fire, and the Rams just looked like the Rams got creamed. Oof. Rams were no match.
They got boat raced. And I'll tell you this: the Rams. I think Baltimore are as good as we thought, and I think the Rams are nowhere near as good as what we thought going into the season. I don't know what the Rams are doing. Excuse me. Sometimes I think when you hear the name genius, sometimes coaches take that a little bit too much to heart. And it has nothing to do with all this other stuff. They were good when Todd Gurley ran the ball and they could play action. When Todd Gurley isn't running the ball, Jared Goff is not special enough to beat anybody by himself. I'm not knocking him. I'm just telling the truth. He's not good enough to do that yet. So they just are – they're an imbalanced offensive team. And last night, they got punched in their mouth. And then when Baltimore decided to stop punching them in their mouth, they punched him in their mouth some more. And then they punched him in the mouth some more. And that was basically the game.
That's a fair share of abuse.
It was. And honestly, I love that brand of football. I hate that cutesy, wootsy stuff.
Yeah.
Line up, hit someone else in their jaw. And I'm honestly, the game of the week next week, I think, should be San Francisco and the Ravens. Aesthetically, it's not going to be as pretty for everyone, but it's two teams that like to line up and brawl. I want to see a brawl.
I know.
But we'll
I think
see
we all
happens.
Do.
But that's,
yeah. All right. Now, what do you make? Now, what
game.
Do you make of you know, the so-called tripping call in the Patriots Dallas game? That was not a tripping call. I don't care what they said. That was not a tripping call, and Dallas got cheated.
Well, I think Dallas got cheated by the refs, and I think Dallas got cheated by their head coach. To be perfectly honest with you, no, those were not tripping calls, especially the last
one.
Listen, I don't know if you're a boxing fan, Lou, but
I am.
When you fight a champion, you have to knock the champion out. You're not going to get a decision, especially if you're fighting in a champion's home city. You're not going to get a decision. You got to knock them out. Dallas did not go in there and knock New England out, and they left the door open. When you leave the door open, things can go wrong.
The Patriots didn't exactly blow Dallas out either.
But the champ doesn't have to blow you out. The champ just has to do enough to keep the belt. You have to beat the champ. The champ just has to fight with you. And Dallas went in there with a poor plan. With a poor plan. That game, rainy, dirty, mushy, everything. What did Baltimore do when they played New England? They lined up and they hit him in the mouth. And they ran and ran and ran. Dallas has Ezekiel Elliott. Run on them. Hit them in the mouth. And Dallas didn't do it. And when Dallas didn't do it, they became susceptible to trying to be cute. Jason Garrett, listen, if you're scared by a dog, at 13-6, you go for it. You need a touchdown no matter what. You go for it. So I don't like Dallas played scared. They played scared. You played scared, you lose. They lost.
That's true. I wasn't crazy about them going for that field goal with about 6 minutes to go in the fourth. That was not the right move to make.
Well, it wasn't the right move to make because it was so rare that you got that field position. And the way they called the plays, I'm not necessarily saying we'll line up and go for it then, but when you get in that huddle on third down, it has to be we have two downs to get this first down or get a touchdown. And the play they ran was a play to score right away. You know, look, Dak, if you get on the edge, get us four of those yards, and then we'll go fourth and three. That wasn't a plan. That's coaching. That's on Jason Garrett.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of concern about Garrett's coaching style.
Yeah, because he's scared. He coaches scared. Plain and simple.
You don't
when
win
you
games
scared,
that way,
lose.
That's for sure.
You don't, and you don't beat New England that way. You don't beat New England by being soft. You can't punk your way into a victory over New England.
No, you can't. I can't agree with them that they did play scared, stupid. It's more like it.
Yeah. And that's why Dallas doesn't win. And that's why Dallas doesn't win big games. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist. I'm not pretending to be Nostradamus here. But I'm saying I know Dallas played scared football. And so were the tripping calls bad? Yes. The tripping calls were horrific. But that's not why they lost that game.
Okay, Nostradamus, can you tell me how bad the winner's going to be this year? No, I'm kidding. Oh, boy. I got you on that one, didn't I?
Yeah. It's just the way it goes.
Yeah. I had to get you one before the Thanksgiving on that.
I understand, my friend.
Yeah, but of course, my brother will be happy if the Bears win on Thursday, but I won't get my hopes up.
Well, if there's a game that they can win, this is going to be it. You're in Detroit.
Yeah.
You won there last year. They're on a backup quarterback. They don't do anything real special. Galladay is a decent receiver, but no one else separates. They're on a Bo Scarborough has played nice, but if you're getting beat by if you're the Bears and you're that defense and you're getting beat by a guy that was a free agent 3 weeks ago, then that's a whole nother issue. Now Mitch is going to be Mitch. And as Brian Urlacher said a long time ago, and I loved his quote, when he said, we don't give a crap what the quarterback is or what happens. It's up to us to take the ball and win. But listen, my friend, I got to jump. I hope you have an incredible Thanksgiving.
So do you, Paul.
Hey, thanks, my friend. We will talk on Monday, I hope. All right, buddy.
Yeah, I hope you come back on Mondays. I mean, I've been kind of missing you on Mondays lately.
Mondays have been crazy. I've been on so many assignments, but this Monday, things should be back to normal.
Well, actually, yesterday I had a problem because I was at my sister's for her birthday, and she had a power failure. I mean, the internet was busted, but her TV worked. So I wasn't able to make any calls much at all before 6 o'clock.
I hear you, buddy.
Help
well, listen, have a great Thanksgiving, and enjoy yourself, my friend.
You too, Paul. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Always good to catch up with Lou, good friend of the program, always has good insight. It is time to bring on my man, though. It's been a while since we talked. It's going to be good to see him this Saturday up at ASU at Sun Devil Stadium. He is the basketball and football writer for the Athletic Arizona Basketball. I hate that. Well, I don't know if I should say U of A or U Arizona, whatever they call themselves these days. My dude, CJ Holmes. CJ, what's up, buddy?
Paul, what's happening, man?
What's going on, brother? How you feeling?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Football season's winding down. Basketball season's getting going here. Actually got a busy week heading out to Anaheim on Thursday morning, coming back Friday morning, turn around and head up to Tempe for the Territorial Cup. So you know me, Paul, always on the move.
So you're going to have Hotel Thanksgiving.
Hotel Thanksgiving, yeah. If that. By the time I get done with my game story, it might be time to head back to the airport. Got a flight at 6 a.m. Back to Tucson.
Well, I'm gonna give you some advice. If it's a hotel Thanksgiving, bring your own hot sauce and bring your own salt. There ain't going to be a lot of season because that's not dressing. They're going to give you stuffing. And there is a difference between the two. I'm just saying. I bet you $1 dessert will be pumpkin pie, not sweet potato. I'm just saying.
Oh, I ain't messing with no hotel food. Worst case scenario, go find me a Popeyes, you know, give me an 8-piece call a day, honey. 8-piece couple size. I'm good. I'm a simple man, Paul.
I hear you. Hey, man, so you're down there, you're killing it. This weekend is big. A lot of folks talk, Ohio State and Michigan, Alabama, Auburn. But this rivalry is a very intense rivalry. And now you'll see it from both sides, from being up here and now you're down there. What's the feel down there? Because they really, this is the bowl game for them. To hurt ASU, ruin their, you know, put them in a crappy bowl. What's the feeling down there in Tucson?
Well, first and foremost, Paul, I got to correct you. It's Auburn-Alabama rivalry.
Oh, I apologize. You're correct. I apologize for that.
But, man, Paul, if I'm going to be completely transparent, man, people have given up on this team. People gave up on this team weeks ago. I mean, there's no excitement, no buzz surrounding this football team. You know, there are a couple people on social media that I've seen, you know, talking some trash about the Territorial Cup. But, you know, these are two programs that are heading in two polar opposite directions right now. Wildcats started 4-1, and they've since lost 6 in a row. And, you know, you saw some of that Utah game, I imagine. I mean, they were lifeless out there. Other than a pair of fourth down stops before halftime, I mean, they put up no fight. Offense didn't get into the end zone until garbage time on the fourth quarter. You know, that's just it's unfortunate to see how this season got off the rails and how they weren't able to rebound like an ASU. You know, ASU lost four in a row, I believe, and they're able to dig themselves out of it and come away with an upset win over the number six team in the country. They're just playing with a different level of confidence right now, a level of confidence that this Arizona team just doesn't have.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, and the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. I have a man on with me, Arizona basketball football writer for The Athletic, C.J. Holmes. So it's been, I mean, outside looking in, I look up and the defensive coordinator's gone. Then I look up and the defensive line coach is gone. What happened? What happened to the season where you're letting go position coaches at the time that you're letting them go before games that seems like those, that type of continuity you would need before the game started?
Well, one could say that defensive coordinator Marcel Yates has been on the hot seat for a while. Over his tenure in Tucson, I believe that Arizona has ranked in the top half defensively at one time. In fact, I think they've always ranked in the bottom third. So defense has always been an issue for this team, at least in recent years. And, you know, this year they got off to a hot start. At one point, they're even leading the country in interceptions. They're playing opportunistic football. They're getting turnovers. But at some point, I'd want to say that Washington game, everything, the wheels just fell off both sides of the football. Arizona started giving up a ridiculous amount of points and a ridiculous amount of yardage, and bleeding just hasn't stopped ever since that Washington game. And, you know, something had to change. So that was behind the decision to get rid of Marcel Yates and linebackers coach John Rushing. Now, they also recently parted ways with their defensive line coach, Coach Iona. You know, I'm hearing that there is a very specific reason for that, but it's nothing I can get anyone to talk on record about yet. But I'm working on it, so stay tuned. But overall, the Arizona football, their defense has been terrible. And Coach Selman just thinks that a new direction is needed, and that's what he's been doing.
2 years ago, Khalil Tate was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a possible Heisman Trophy winner, front runner. He was supposed to be the next thing. Now they're running two quarterbacks. What happened? How did that fall apart?
Well, as much as I hate to say it, I feel like a lot of it was the hiring of Kevin Sumlin. You know, under Rich Rodriguez, the Wildcats like playing fast. They're running that read option and playing to Khalil's strengths. But when Kevin Sumlin came in, there was complete change of offensive philosophy, and it really, really hurt what could have been a magical career for a guy like Khalil Tate. I don't think that the offense someone's offense has been built around Khalil's strengths. In some ways, I feel like the offense has been built for Grant Gunnell, who started the season as the backup. And it's just hurt the guy's development. I mean, he had his moments at times this year. You know, I think he ran for like 172 yards or something like that against Texas Tech. We all saw what he did to Colorado. This year is one of his best games as a passer, but you know, when this losing streak first began, Arizona was having a lot of trouble up front with pass protection. They couldn't keep Khalil upright. The guy really didn't have a lot of time to throw. Now, I wouldn't put it all on the offensive line. There were a lot of times where, you know, Khalil could have threw the ball away, or, you know, maybe Khalil could have made a quicker read, but, you know, overall, it'd be hard for any quarterback, whether it's Khalil or Grant Gunnell, to be successful under those circumstances. And it's shown down the stretch with both guys. So, really, you know, and then when that losing streak started, Khalil became one of the scapegoats. And, you know, the guy, his confidence is just gone, at least from my perspective. It just seems like the guy's confidence is gone. I mean, someone didn't even give him the start on senior night. You know, if you were a senior and you've given your heart and soul to the program, and, you know, you didn't get the start on senior night in what a lot of people thought was a meaningless game that you had no shot to win anyway, and you still don't get the start. I mean, that's sending a message. And you could see a little bit when Khalil's running out for the senior night ceremony that everyone was taking turns dapping up Kevin Sumlin. I mean, Khalil wouldn't even make eye contact with that man. So, you know, what happened to Khalil? Kevin Sumlin happened, and The guy just hasn't been able to bounce back.
On the Kerry Lackey Law line here on the Cave Show with PLR, Arizona basketball and football writer for The Athletic, CJ Holmes. So what is his aura in Tucson? And I know that up here, you know, a lot of folks at first when Herm got hired, they weren't really warm to it. But then they warmed up when they saw the direction that the team was going. What's the fans in the city of Tucson, since that is their football team, how do they feel about Kevin Sumlin?
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I didn't make the trip to Oregon. Instead, I stayed on the ground here in Tucson, and during game time, I kind of walked around University Boulevard, and I interviewed fans. And fans are just frustrated with the whole situation, you know. They're frustrated with Sumlin's mishandling of Khalil Tate. They're frustrated with this two-quarterback system. They're frustrated with all these firings. They're frustrated with, you know, Sumlin's lack of recruiting success. And they're frustrated that, you know, Arizona has been ineligible for a bowl game in the last two seasons. You know, Arizona, it's a big brand, you know, more so in the hardwood, but, you know, it's still a Division I Pac-12 school. And, you know, in the fans' eyes, there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to compete just like the rest of the Pac-12 schools. I mean, Oregon State came in here and just put a wallop on Arizona, and you just can't have that. There are some who are just saying, you know, remain patient, let someone get his own guys in here, you know, because it's worth noting that someone is still playing games with a lot of Rich Rodriguez's recruits. So, you know, some people are like, you know, just give it some time, let someone get his own guys in here and things can turn around. But there's also a handful of people who are just ready for this program to go in a new direction after 2 years.
Which then would be tough, because when you're flipping after 2 years, now you're going to be stuck. The new coach would then be stuck with the guys that someone has, and you just get back on the same merry-go-round. So they're almost painted in a corner right now with no choice but to ride him out at least another year or two to see how his recruits turn out.
Right. And it's also worth mentioning that Arizona is still paying for Rich Rodriguez's buyout. And if they were to buy someone out after this season, it would cost the school $10 million. After next season, that figure drops to $5 million, I believe. So it makes the most sense to give someone one more year to see if you can right the ship.
So you said the buzz down there, and I'm speaking with the Athletic CJ Holmes, basketball, football writer for Arizona. You said the buzz isn't exactly the same this year for the Territorial Cup. But have you heard from anyone that's saying, look, we know ASU is eligible, but we want them going to the Sun Bowl. We want them going to a lousy bowl. And we've lost this game for 2 years. It's time to bring that cup back to Tucson. Any feeling for that, especially for the seniors that or juniors that have yet to win this thing from ASU?
Well, you know, junior linebacker Tony Fields II said after the Utah loss that, you know, this Territorial Cup, this game against our next game against Arizona State, you know, that's our bowl game. And I want to say it was either Fitton Conley or Justin Bellcamp, can't remember which player specifically, put something out on Twitter saying that, take care of some scum up the road or something like that. Don't quote me on that. So, you know, players are talking, but, you know, they've been talking for weeks now. So all it is talk. I hear them. It sounds good, but at the end of the day, they're going to have to go out there and, you know, put a hat on a hat and make some plays. Until that happens, to me, all it's been is talk. They've been talking for weeks now, and nothing's changed. So until they go out there this Saturday and, you know, prove it, I have no reason to believe that ASU won't run away with this thing.
So I got to ask you before I let you go. I know we talked Territorial Cup, but I know your eyes are going to be over on Auburn, Bama. Auburn can really beat Bama this year, can't they?
Man, I don't know. I feel like Gus Malzahn's wasted arguably the best defense in school history, messing around with Bo Nix. I mean, I was seeing Bo Nix after that Oregon game, man. I was like, you know, he completed like 40% of his passes, but that game winner, though, right? I was like, oh, the kid's clutch. But, you know, there just hasn't been a lot of development from Bo Nix this year. And, you know, despite his struggles, you know, Miles Brown's stuck with him. And I think it's fair to say that it's cost Auburn some games. So, to answer your question, no, I do not like Auburn's chances of Bo Nix at quarterback against the Alabama defense. Alabama has plenty to play for. They're trying to stay in the playoff discussion. I think they're going to come into Jordan-Hare Stadium and run over the Tigers. I hate to say it, Paul, but it's not looking good.
I need y'all to win. I really do. I'm 100% with you because I do not want Alabama to politic their way into the playoffs. I just don't want it to happen. I can't lie to you. I think if LSU wins out, obviously they're in. I think if Ohio State wins out, obviously they're in. And if Clemson wins out, obviously they're in. I don't want Utah, which I think that defense is ridiculous, is going to win out. But somehow Alabama will politic their way in because of the way they travel. And if you could just beat them, that will just take care of everything. Is there someone you could call? Something you could do?
Nothing I can do. It's going to be all on the Tigers this Saturday. But I believe the world would like Alabama to lose. I just think that, you know, plus that backup, Jones. His name's Jones, right? You know,
yeah.
He's looking good. You know, system guy, he can just slide right in. I think he had like 4 or 5 touchdown passes a week ago. So, only way I can see Auburn winning this game is if that defense gets pressure on Jones, forces some turnovers, and Bo Nix finds a way to get the team into the end zone consistently. But, you know, they got Jerry Jeudy and all those, and that excellent receiving core on the outside. You know, Alabama always has a steady stable of runners. So, you know, they're going to score sooner or later. It's just a matter of is Auburn going to be able to keep up.
And I don't count his game last week, just so you know. They played Western Kentucky. I think if I had eligibility, I could have played QB for Western Kentucky. They took it off the line. There wasn't even a betting odd on that game. So they would have had more of a game if they scrimmaged themselves. So I don't throw his numbers up against that last week. I want to see that Auburn defense get in Alabama. I might buy a Tigers hat just to show support.
But here's the thing, though. You want to look at it from an Auburn perspective. Last week they had a cupcake game, too. And their offense struggled for the first quarter and a half until they were finally able to act like Auburn. You know what I'm saying? So it's just when I see things like that, I'm just like, man, you know, you can't start slow against Bama. When you start slow against Bama, you're gonna need a 109-yard kick return just to beat them.
Hey, look, I'm about to let you fly, but I just got to ask you. I know you've been keeping a side eye on the NBA. How good is Luka Doncic, man? I mean, how good is he at 20? Doing this in the NBA? What's up with that?
You know, this is going to sound crazy, but Luka's skill set right now, like, everyone wants to compare him to LeBron, right? But there's two versions of LeBron. Follow me. So there's the, you know, early Cavs LeBron that was kind of raw, just kind of beat everyone with his athleticism. And then there's the LeBron we see now, like the skilled LeBron, you know, the methodical LeBron, the point LeBron, if you will. I think that Luka's skill set at 20 years old is closer to prime LeBron than old LeBron, which I know that's saying a lot, but, I mean, look at what he's doing right now. He's ridiculous. The guy he's been unstoppable. He's in complete control of the game, and I think in the next 2-3 years, he's going to be the unquestioned best player in the league.
Wow. I'm amazed. I'm the person that said the Suns to draft Aiden, and I still stick with it because I think he fits with what Booker does. But boy, Luka's making my argument look real bad every day, making that argument.
There's no more argument with that one. The Suns dropped the ball. They could have had Luka Doncic and You just hate to see it. You really hate to see it.
That's okay. And you know what? DeAndre going to come back. He's going to turn into a perennial all-star. Devin going to average 28 points a game, and they're going to battle each other. That's that wishful thinking I got. I just want to go off.
I mean, it could happen. I mean, DeAndre got off to a good start this year, so hopefully when he comes back from suspension, they can keep it rolling and take the season to another level.
Yo, tell everyone how they can read all the stuff that you're putting out there.
You can find me on Twitter at CJHolmes22, and you can find all my content on theathletic.com.
Yo, man, it's good to catch up with you. Sound like you got a little bit of a cold. You better take that Tussin.
Yeah, man, I've been down with something these last 2 days, but, you know, a little cold can't keep me down.
Yo, I tell you what, bro, it will be good to see you on Saturday. It's been a while, so it'll be good to catch up with you for sure.
Absolutely, man. You know how I feel about Tempe. So it'd be good to get back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, I appreciate you hopping on and talking a little. You Arizona? I guess I gotta say that now. You Arizona football.
I plan on trolling all season long.
All right, my brother. I'll see you Saturday night.
All right, Paul. Always a pleasure, man. See you Saturday.
All right, thanks for that. That's the one, the only CJ Holmes, Arizona basketball football writer for The Athletic. Let's take 30 seconds, and I want to play a little sound I got from Herm Edwards. Let's pay a couple bills, and we will be right back.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So before we jump into the NFL, want to wrap up Herm's thought, Herm Edwards, head coach of ASU football, his thoughts on this rivalry game and what's coming up with it.
Big game in a lot of ways for us and for Arizona. It's a rivalry game. I think this rivalry goes back 20 years or something like that. Something that's going to be a lot of emotions, a lot of passionate fans involved in this. It's classic. And, you learn that when you're involved in it. My first time being involved in it last year, it was quite a spectacle and surprise for me in the fact that there's so many people in the state of Arizona that really keyed in on this game, whether it's grandma, grandpa, whether it's former people that went to one of the schools.
Okay, so we're having a problem with that sound. So basically, let me sum up what Herm was saying. Basically, this rivalry goes back a long way. Doesn't matter, you know, yeah, grandma talking about it, grandpa talking about it. It's basically their bowl game. You know, this is a team that's going to come up here and they're going to play hard and they're going to play tough and they're not going to listen. No matter what happens between the lines with the coaches, these players do not want to lose down in Arizona. They don't want to lose the Territorial Cup 3 years in a row. They just do not want to do it. So I think it's going to be that type of tough game. I don't think – rivalry games are different, y'all. They're not the same game. They're a different game. You don't just walk into your rivalry game. I don't care what the point spread is. Herm Edwards said that. I don't care what the point spread is. As he said, that's all y'all out there saying it. And as we know, point spreads are just Vegas odds guys anyway. They don't give a crap who wins. They want money to come in equally on both sides so they can make a penny. So, yes, ASU is favorite. ASU should be favorite. They're a better team. We're talking about a team that's fired its defensive coach, defensive line coach, and linebacker coach. So the game is up here. It's an 8 o'clock late night start. So ASU, a lot's on the line in terms of bowl ramifications, in terms of you just righted your ship. He beat the then-ranked number 6 in the country in Oregon. And there's a nice article up on that at sportscave.com. Again, Caves with a K. You don't want to just give that right back and lose to an in-state rival. There's the old joke, the old saying, ASU can go 1-11, but that one better be against U of A. We've all heard it. If you went to ASU, you said it. If you went to the school in Tucson, you said it. And the only reason I mention them by name is to give respect to my guy, CJ Holmes, who was kind enough to come on and talk to us today about this game. But it sounds like they're a mess down in Tucson. And I will tell you right now, it doesn't hurt my feelings one iota for that school in Tucson, Northern Nogales, to be a mess. They fired their defensive coordinator, fired their linebacker coach, fired their defensive line coach. Hell, they can fire their secondary coach. I really don't give a crap. Fire them all. Fire the OC. Fire them all before the game. A lot of games you want close to be entertained. I don't want to be entertained. I wanted 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. I want heads hanging. I don't give a crap. On the Kerry Lackey line right now, though, my main man, from Easy Sports Talk, the one, the only, Ed Smith. Ed, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, brother Paul. What's happening with you, man?
I just had CJ Holmes on, kind of previewing a little bit of this ASU game against them cats down south. And I was just saying, I don't want a close game. I want them to go back to in Tucson. I liked the game last year because you were able to beat them at the very second, watch all their heads bow, watch them try to figure out what happened to them. How they look like a six-year-old who had just bought his lollipop and his big brother came and just took it from him. This year, I don't want that. I want a bum rush from the beginning, leave no doubt, and let's be done with them. Get them on the bus, get them back to Tucson. But I'm
man,
but
who
again,
you talking
I'm not,
who you talking to? You know how I watch my North Carolina Duke basketball. Dukie, I should say. I don't want there to be even an iota that they could be in the game. Like you said, I want to bury them. I want their head in the sand. I want them with their tail between their legs when they go home.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Hey, bro, I want to ask you a question. I'm watching this football game last night, and I'm watching one team full of grown men hit another team full of grown men in their mouth over and over and over. And one team just seemed like they just took it. At what point do you start fighting back a little bit? The Rams played passive and scared. Are the Ravens that good?
Now, I think what they did, man, that's that old school black and blue division type team, man. They went in there and smashed them in the mouth. And I don't know whether it's the West Coast softness or whatever it is. Maybe, you know, McVay has them boys eating too much sushi out there when they should be eating some, fried chicken and, starting to get a little beefed up, man, because actually that wasn't even a fair game yesterday. But that game was over by end of the first quarter, man. It wasn't even a fight. So I'm a true believer. Most teams take the personality of their head coach. You think about Harbaugh, and I was under him when I was in Philly. That dude is intense. He's detailed, and he wants you to go out there, like you said, and punch somebody in the mouth. Whereas McVay, man, all we hear about is, you know, how cool a coach he is, and, you know, he's innovative and this. Man, that's not going to win you a whole lot of football games when you get there in the trenches. And that's what Baltimore showed yesterday, man. They showed that they're willing to go anywhere and fight anybody. And, you know, those are dudes we don't like to mess with, Paul, them brothers that are down for it whenever, you know.
Stay ready. They stay ready.
Stay ready, yeah. There you go.
You know, next week, the premier game on Sunday night is Houston versus New England. I really don't want to see that game. To me, the premier game is San Francisco, Baltimore. Two teams that run, hit their opponent dead in the jaw and come back looking for more. That's the game I'm looking forward to next week. What do you think is going to happen when those two street fighters get in there and start duking it out?
Well, you know, we've seen what Baltimore can do, and he, like I said, on the road at that. For me, I'm curious to see whether San Fran can take this their game on the road. We saw what they did to Green Bay this past week, but they had the comforts of being at home. I'm looking, you know, they're going to be going into a hostile environment. You know, we just saw what Baltimore did, and that defense turned it up a notch even on the Rams. You know, they were just passive, like you said, but it's going to be really interesting. If San Fran goes out there, and I'm not even saying they have to win this game. If they go on the road, and this is like Rock'em Sock'em Robots, I'm all in on San Fran. If they go over there this week and end up laying down, then I'm like, okay, well, the jury is still out. But, man, this could be one of the best games of the year. I was anticipating this past weekend with Green Bay and even was stupid enough to think Green Bay could go on the road and win that one. But, like I said, this is going to be the game of the year if you ask me to this point.
I'm with you. I think Green Bay's defense is a front-running defense. When they get a lead, they look good. When they don't, they can't stop anyone. On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Easy Sports Talk, Ed Smith. So I'm watching this Dallas game, and they lose to the Pats, and there was two tripping calls that were just a joke. But I had to move past that, and I put it like this. If you go fight the champ in their ring, in their home city, with their judges, and you don't knock them out, they're going to win the decision. So to me, those tripping calls were just part of the decision. Jason Garrett coached scared. You're within the 15-yard line. I think when you roll out on third down, you tell your quarterback, look, this is two down territory. This is the best field position we have with our best opportunity. We need to pop this in. So if you need to check down and get 4 yards and set us up for a fourth and two, you need to do that. But we're running two plays. Come hell or high water, we're getting in. And it just seemed like he ran scared. Or is that just me? It looked like he ran scared.
Man, at this point, your boy, I mean, Garrett, what do you have to lose, man? You know, in these rooms, Jerry Jones has gotten to this point. He's publicly calling you out, talking about you got out coached. We got out, you know. So you know you're on the last breath as it is. At this point in time, man, like I said, what do you have to lose? You should be pulling every trick you have out of the bag, every fourth and short or whatever you should be going for. And especially in that situation, you know, fourth quarter, don't know whether you're going to get the ball back. I can't understand why he's still there at this point, only other than they still have a chance to make the playoffs. And you maybe not don't want to upset the apple cart, let him do what he does. You know, skate, get into the playoffs, and then they probably lose, and then you can finally get rid of them. But at this point, man, every week that goes by, I lose more and more respect for Garrett as a coach. I mean, he seems like a nice dude, but, man, sometimes you just got to take the big boy or the little boy panties off and put the big boy pants on and go out there and, you know. And another thing, man, it shows your team you're willing to ride or die with them. He doesn't even have any faith in his offense, you know, or his defense, that if we don't make it, we can stop him and do this or that. So at this point, man, you talk about dead man walking. This dude is, I mean, they got him. They're hooking him up to the doggone electrodes and everything right now, man. It's time for him to be saying his last words, and, you know, because, I mean, this is not going to end well for him and for Dallas with all those expectations coming into the season. This season is a wash.
So I want to bounce around because I know we're on a hard 15 minutes. Is Carson Wentz overrated?
Oh, couldn't be more overrated. And, you know, here the simple fact that they Philly has a title, he wasn't even there to win the title, man. And since then, I mean, you had people who were calling for Foles to stay, and, I mean, I've never seen it. I know everybody was all on the bandwagon. Me personally, I never bought into him, and I was like, well, okay, I guess it ain't my money. They can pay him whatever they want. But I have not seen it, don't see it, and don't know if we will see it in the future. I mean, granted, they're missing a lot of their weapons. They're going, you know, everybody's hurt, it seems like. But at the same time, man, I don't see that dude that's like next level taking anybody, you know, and putting him on his back and saying, hey, let's go. This dude, man. And the other thing, how can you not pay Dak after you get, like, the standard is going up every week, even though they lost this past weekend in New England. I think that's more on coaches. Dak, man, every time he scores a touchdown, and then you look and see what Wentz is doing, and he just got paid and Goff got paid. Man, there's no argument at this point that that man doesn't deserve his money. So I'm sure he every time he watches Dak, or every time Dak watches Wentz and Goff go out to do what they do, he's like, cha-ching.
Yeah. Yeah, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only Ed Smith, Easy Sports Talk Radio. When I'm watching these quarterbacks, and I don't want to be one of those, you know, prisoner of the moment type people, and I've been saying this all year, and I've been getting pushback from New England fans, is Brady's lost something off that fastball. Has he not?
Oh,
absolutely. Am I the only one that wants to say it?
He has absolutely lost something off that fastball, man. Brady has gotten to the point, man. He's turned into an average quarterback.
And dare I say, Aaron Rodgers seems like he's lost something off his fastball, too, because it's not every week with Aaron anymore. It's like there's a stinker thrown in there, like, every 2 weeks.
Say that one again, Brother Paul.
I said it seems like Aaron Rodgers' fastball has lost a little bit, too, because he's giving you a stinker every 2 weeks, and that's not what Aaron Rodgers used to do.
I'm having some... Yeah, I had a little tech there for you. Ask me that one more time.
I said it seems like Aaron Rodgers has lost a little something off his fastball because he's given more stinker games this year than I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers have.
Yeah, I don't like their offensive scheme, man. Something just it doesn't fit well with me, you know. I'm not seeing the explosiveness that we normally see with them.
They got a genius. They got a genius at coach. All these young offensive geniuses, they got a genius too. Everybody got a genius.
Well, you know what? I thought of something too, and I'm going to give you this one real quick. Think about if this was last year and McVay was coaching the way he is now, would your boy Kingsbury be getting a job?
No. No, but neither would the coaches at Green Bay. These were all his guys.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I mean, everybody who had a cup of coffee with McVay last year, they was handing out jobs like Oprah hands out TVs, right? Now, all of a sudden, like a year later, this dude, man, and, you know, everybody's questioning him. And would a Kingsbury or some of these people be like top notch on everybody's list? So it's crazy what the difference 1 year can make.
It is. You know what's funny, though? I will say this. The Cardinals, talent-wise, don't match up against the Rams, but the Cardinals will at least fight you. At this point, at least fight you. And that doesn't look like it's there in L.A. And about the Cardinals, before I let you get out of here, what happened to the tiptoe burglar? Well, where's David Johnson? Not getting touches? Where's the tiptoe burglar? What happened to him?
I don't know, but his wife's so ready to fight everybody, boy. She out there, you know, pretty much telling everybody, stay off my man. I'm like, I'm very choosy with my words, and I don't want her coming after me. But since it's just you and me, right, I'll tell you, man, I don't know what happened to that brother, whether he just got his money and all of a sudden decided it's time for him to check out. But, I mean, he truly looks like he is not interested in any part of contact. And, you know, and that's an open field. That's in everything, man. He does not want to almost be touched, it seems like. And the sad part of you is you've got Edmonds and you've got Drake who've shown you the way, meaning if you run right, you can't be productive in this offense. Man, he looks like he wants no part of it, bro.
Yeah, well, his wife just got to cuss me out because he's a tiptoe burglar. And I ain't getting off of that. So to get you out of here on this, you know I'm all into the NBA. You know the Suns, they've had a little bit of ups and downs, but the record is still in a position where they can still strike. I'm happy about that, considering all the injuries, DA suspended, and they're still hanging in there. And they're if the playoffs started today, the Suns would actually be in the playoffs. So I'm on this narcotic real strong. But I will tell you something. I've been watching this kid in Dallas. And I last year said the Suns have to take Aiden because he'll fit better with Booker. And I like that they got him. I like they got Rubio. All that helps Booker. But boy, this Luka Doncic is making me with that assessment look bad right now. DA gonna have to come back and save me because, and I don't know if you watched him, but this Luka Doncic is killing basketball right now.
Well, you can't turn on your radio or TV without hearing his name, man. And you know, I'm a playoff man, so I've been waiting. I'll be tuning in come around March or April. But man, I'm telling you, from all I hear, this kid is the truth. And you know, I know everybody was high on Aiden when he was coming out. For me, I was always questionable of Aiden, not necessarily his heart, but his, you know, I guess aggressiveness. I'd like for him to be a little more, I guess, of an alpha, and I don't see that. But like I said, you got time with that. I hate this suspension is taken away from his the start of his season here. But like you said, man, that doggone Doncic, he looks good. And do you think he's MVP status for this year?
Yeah, no, I think he's the MVP right now. And before all these LeBron fans start yelling at me, LeBron and AD should playing this week, but schedule should be 15-2. Luka Doncic, team with Porzingis, and name anybody else on that team, should not be 11-5. And they're balling out. See, to me, that's MVP. I hate that. Well, he'll have another chance, bullcrap. If you're playing like the MVP, you are the MVP. To me, it's just that simple. I saw something on TV today saying, who's MVP, LeBron or Giannis? Neither. It's Luka Doncic. That's your MVP. It's not either. It's neither. But, hey, listen, I know Thanksgiving is coming, and I'm over here at Maduro's today. We're doing Cigar with the Cave Show. And when you said who's the alpha dog, I just wanted to let you know because I know you do a lot of your shows from here too. But Ron put in my hand an event that they're having on December 14th, the launch of the Faro Stick. Now, this Faro Stick has the logo, the head logo, reminiscent of this great fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. So I've got two of them right here. I'll put the picture on social media in a little bit. But the Faro Stick, bro, you're going to have to get in here and get you one of these Faro Sticks. Because that's a good-looking cigar. Good-looking cigar.
Hey, is that time of the year, the weather, a little glass of your favorite adult beverage and a cigar out on the back porch. And you know it's that time of the year. And definitely to come down to the Maduro's and get you one as well. But anybody, I'm going to make sure I let everybody know that's coming up. And, you know, I'm going to get mine too, brother.
And on Thursday, just so everyone knows, we're having dressing. We ain't having stuff. We're having dressing, not stuff. We're having sweet potato, not pumpkin. I just want to get it right. Just want to get it right. So that way there's no misunderstandings with everyone thinking. I don't want anyone to ask me how I had stuffing. I don't eat stuffing. I eat dressing. Big difference.
I eat dressing too.
Yo, bro, I appreciate you hopping on for a little while with me. I hope you have an incredible Thanksgiving. And I know I'm going to try to hurt myself that day.
Oh, you know, that's how we do it, man. And nothing but love for you, brother. And I hope you and the family have a great Thanksgiving. And definitely, man, we got to hook up soon. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to get out to the ASU game this week so we can celebrate the beatdown of, Northern Nogales?
Man, them suckers, they knew that name they used was so bad before. They now want to call themselves U Arizona. Well, you know you a sucker when you don't even like your own nickname. That's all. I don't know what else to say. So I'll leave it at that. You look, they should have a shirt. You know you a sucker win. And that's all I gotta say.
There you go.
All right, bro. Hey, tell everyone where they can listen to you. I almost let you jump before that.
Oh, every Saturday on KDUS 1060 AM, and they can check us out on the Easy Sports Talk on Facebook, Instagram is at Ed Smith Speaks, as well as Twitter, man. Nothing but love for you, brother Paul.
Right. Hey, bro, same back to you, and we'll catch up. Hopefully I'll see you
Saturday. Okay, sounds good, man.
All right, bro. Talk to you soon. It's the one only Ed Smith. So let me give you this. This is the fastest 90 seconds in picks. So are you ready? I'm going to put money in your pocket. All you got to do is listen to me. Let's roll. This week, Thanksgiving football kicks off. Detroit is a 3-point dog at home to Chicago. I must be on the sauce. Take it. Bears will beat Detroit by more than 3. Buffalo goes to Dallas. Dallas is a 6.5-point favorite. Buffalo is a very good team. Take Dallas. They got too much on the line to lose. Atlanta is a 6.5 dog at home to New Orleans. New Orleans is going to beat Atlanta by more than 6.5. Revenge game. San Francisco goes to Baltimore. They are a 6-point dog. Take Baltimore. Take those points. Carolina, plus 10 over Washington. There will be no selfies taken. I don't really have a lot of faith in Kyle Allen, but I think Washington is just that bad. Take Carolina. Take those points. Cincinnati, 3.5-point dog at home to the Jets. The Jets are playing well. Sam Darnold looks like who we thought he would be. Take the point. Cincinnati's got awful. Now, keep in mind, Andy Dalton is coming back. But take New York. Take the point. Indianapolis, 2.5-point favorite at home over Tennessee. Tennessee can run the ball. Tannehill looks very, very good. Take Tennessee in an outright win. Tampa Bay goes into Jacksonville. The turnover machine, Jameis Winston, is going to go down to Jacksonville, and they're going to lose. Jacksonville is a -1, which basically means that's a pick'em game. If you got to bet this one, take Jacksonville. I personally would say don't touch it. Philadelphia goes to Miami. Miami is a 9-point dog at home. Philadelphia, I don't think is that good. Take Miami in the points. Green Bay goes to New York. The Giants are a 6.5-point dog at home. Green Bay has to show me something. I think this is the week they do. Take them in an outright win. Cleveland goes to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 2-point dog at home. Cleveland's going to win this game. They're a better team. The Rams come to Arizona. Arizona's a 3-point dog at home. This is your upset lock of the week. Arizona beats the Rams. KC, Oakland. KC's a 9.5-point favorite over Oakland. You don't know what Oakland you're going to get. I don't like KC's defense. I think Oakland covers this game. And then lastly, the Chargers go to Denver. Actually, I have two more. I'm sorry. Chargers go to Denver. Denver's a 2.5-point dog at home. This is the biggest who cares game ever. Take L.A. to win. New England goes to Houston. Houston's a 3-point dog at home. Houston's going to beat New England on the road this week. And Minnesota goes to Seattle, where Seattle's a 3-point favorite. Take Seattle in this game at home with the weather conditions. There you have it. Just put money in your pocket. You can say thank you to me right now. I'm good with that. Owe you one more thing. Before we jump up out of here today, I got to give you your power 10. Do that in exactly 15 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
So now let's give you these top 10 real quick. Coming in at number 10, the Houston Texans. They are the 10th best team in the NFL, in my opinion. Number 9, KC. Number 8, Buffalo. Number 7, the Pack. I know the Buffalo may be better, but we'll see. I think the Pack just laid an egg. Seattle at number 6. Vikings at number 5. Saints at 4. Something wrong with the Saints, y'all. Trust me later. Believe me now. Pats at number 3. Niners at number 2. That leaves, of course, the Ravens as the best team in the NFL. So a couple things we got to get into before we get up out of here and start this Thanksgiving holiday. As you know, we're coming to you live today from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Chandler Heights. So check this out. December 14th, Rocky Patel is launching their new cigar here from 4 to 8. It's on a Saturday. That's December 14th. Rocky Patel will be launching the Faro Stick. Now, for those of you that don't know, I'm a member, a proud brother of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. And for those that you know, our logo, our benchmark is the Faro. This is the Faro Stick. and is launching right here at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. You can also become a member while you're here that day. When you are a member, there's always something special for you. So get down here, figure out what it is. It's December 14th. I will talk more about it as we get closer. But get down here to Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Get your Faro stick. It is a Rocky Patel cigar. 4 to 8, Saturday, December 14th. Wow, that may have been the fastest show ever. Thank you, Ed Smith, for joining us. My man, CJ Holmes, thank you for joining us. Both called via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thanks for the callers. I had about 6 calls on hold. I apologize. I just wasn't able to get to you. Please try us back on Monday, as we will be on best of mode for the next 3 days. Yes, we're taking a 5-day weekend for Turkey Day. Make sure you're following us on social media at The Sports Cave. Cave is with a K. On Instagram, the Twitter, and Facebook. Sportscave.com is our website. Again, Cave is with a K. Make sure you're checking the shows out. Every day, 3 o'clock, you also can get us at KSRN. It's ran by my man, Earl Burnett. And you can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Until Monday, everyone, enjoy your Turkey Day. Be safe. Thank you, Maduro's, for hosting us. Until Monday, this has been the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Go Devils. Take it to Arizona.